Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. It's Election Day 2012, the day we've been waiting for goodness sakes, as we've all watched TV and been inundated with ads, most of them negative, when it should be the most positive thing in the world, for goodness sakes. That's on both sides. I'm not taking a political position here. I'm Larry Jacobs. I'm your host of Education Talk Radio, and we are absolutely thrilled that you're with us today. But if you're with us today, that's great, but I hope you get out there and get out the vote, et cetera, et cetera. I already voted here. Here in Maine, we have a paper ballot. We fill in the little ovals, and we have a wooden ballot box in the little town I live in, and a lady controls the slot, so only one person can be at the slot at one time, and you drop your completed ballot in there. It's pretty interesting, the essence of American democracy, so to speak. But wherever you live, please get out there and vote today. It is important. And on that line, I'm going to give you all the usual stuff in just a second. We're going to have Michelle Herzog with us, who's Vice President of National Council for the Social Studies. We're going to talk about civic engagement, civic responsibility, and the teaching of civics in the 21st century, okay, which, by the way, we happen to be in. Before we begin with Michelle, I just want to remind everybody that we're going to archive this show at our website, which is education-talkradio.org, education-talkradio.org, and we also tweet, and we tweet at EduTalk Radio, Twitter, at EduTalk Radio. Go over to our website. You can link over to our Higher Education Talk Radio, Community College Talk Radio, Military Education Talk Radio, as well as see all the wonderful things we're doing on K-12. It's education-talkradio.org. And without further ado, because I am an old social studies teacher, I am emphasis on the old, and I'm looking forward to having Michelle on. So without any more of my blabber, hi, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. It's an exciting day today, isn't it?
It is indeed. I don't know if you heard the introduction just now, but I went over to the old town hall here in Cornish, Maine. They literally have a wooden ballot box, and a lady controls the little slot, and you drop your completed ballot in there. It was pretty cool, I got to tell you.
I love it. Well, I can't wait, because here in California, it's only 8 a.m., so I'm going to rush right out when we're done today with our interview.
Yeah, and I always like to vote early, not only because I think it's good to do that, but because I always feel my vote counts more if I vote early.
Yeah, absolutely.
am I wrong?
How could you be wrong?
Actually, I have to tell you this, you'll get a kick out of this. There was a sign, you know, when you first walk in, they ask you for your name, they check you off the list, and there's a big sign next to the lady that says, "Even if I've known you my entire life, state your name."
That's great.
Well, welcome to small. Yeah, it is great. Welcome to small town Maine, for goodness sakes, and it's a lot of fun. Michelle, let me give you the real introduction here. You're the Vice President of the National Council for the Social Studies, NCSS, at ncss.org. That's the largest association in the nation devoted solely to social studies education. Bless your hearts. You're located in Silver Spring, Maryland, and we're going to talk about civil engagement in the 21st century, and I hope we get lots of people involved today. Today is the big day. It's not only the day we begin the process of electing a new president for real, but it finally gets them all quieted down a little bit, and we can have peace and quiet to a certain extent, since it's been going on for, I think, 4 years now, this campaign. So for goodness sakes, let's talk about it. Why is it, okay, that, by the way, define what you do, okay? Are you a teacher?
Actually, I work with teachers out of the Los Angeles County Office of Education here in California, and devoted full-time to supporting social studies teachers in LA,
right,
and as much as I can across the state and the nation. It's a very lucky job I have. Very lucky.
And what's the state of social studies education? Let's just take it as LA.
Well, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle like it is everywhere. There are, not to say that there aren't great things happening. There's some wonderful teachers doing wonderful things. In Montebello, for example, we have civic action projects. We have the people competitions in Arcadia. We've got the Arsalan program, which puts actual voter booths in schools. In Ventura, there's a high school. You know, so there's great things happening. The sad thing is that it's not the norm. You know, these examples are few and far between because the policies that are in place create barriers for us to really do full-on, high-quality civic learning for all kids in all grade levels. So it's
which
a struggle.
Is terrible. And let's take this full circle. By the way, I have to say, I was reading, you folks do, NCSS does a terrific SMART brief, which is that newsletter that comes out from the association. I get it, I don't know if I get it every day or a couple of times a week or whatever. I can't remember now. But there was I read it earlier today, I should have written it down. There was a teacher who actually took his students out to register to vote. Did you see that article?
There's a lot of that going on. You know, there's some great programs in Chicago, Democracy Schools, the Mikvah Challenge. Tennessee is doing some remarkable work around Project Citizen and Florida.
Nice.
So there's some good things going on, but, you know, they're inequitable across the country and in different areas and different demographics. And so what NCSS, what we try to do is to put in place the structures so that all students at all grades have the opportunity to develop the knowledge and skills and the dispositions to really be engaged in our democratic practices.
It's true, and I was very impressed with that article I read today. I wish I had kept it on screen, and I did not. But, again, that was in Smart Brief, okay, the NCSS Smart Brief. I don't know if you – I know you can look that up if you wanted at smartbrief.com. I don't know if it's available also. Is it also available at ncss.org, do you know?
I believe there's a place on the website, too, that you can sign up for free for that. So
okay,
great.
It is free. Smart again, either Smart Brief or NCSS, but it's the NCSS Smart Brief. They have good information. The reason I'm saying this is because it has great sharing information. Okay, for social studies teachers and all people
things,
who are interested in this. Yeah,
right. It's one of the many things we're trying to do with NCSS is to get ideas and resources out to social studies teachers to support their efforts, professional development. But what I'm most excited about is our real energy and passion for advocacy and moving legislation and policy at the federal level, but also to engage folks at their state and local levels. Because unless we get some policy change, we're going to have these unequal opportunities across the nation for civic learning, and that's just unacceptable.
It is, and we'll all moan and moan and moan when we get the information tomorrow that something like only 40, whatever the number is, 40% or so of eligible voters voted, whatever that terrible number is. And I really believe, okay, that is because the schools have reduced social studies and civic education, and people just don't get it. They think that the civic engagement is screaming on either MSNBC or the Bill O'Reilly show or something, okay?
Yeah.
And that's not what it's about. Okay, it's about being engaged. And just talk for a second, if you would, Michelle, about how you feel civics education affects voting. Why is there so many people not voting, taking advantage of something that, and I hate to sound like everybody else, but that so many people have died for over the years, the right to vote, for the freedom of choice, et cetera. Why are they what's going on out there?
Well, I think among adults, you know, we're all witnessing kind of a general movement toward a lack of trust in government that needs to be reversed. People don't see that they can make a difference, that they're part of the democratic practice. They feel alienated from it. We're seeing polarization of political parties. People don't like to see that. They like to see more consensus building and collaboration. But, you know, you talk about voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And the age group with the lowest voter turnout continues to be that 18 to 25-year-old age range, which is tragic because you think about kids leaving kindergarten through grade 12, you know, they're virtually their entire lives in either public or private education, and coming out without either the knowledge or the skills or the desire to really get out there and vote and cast their vote and be part of it. And so,
I think the third word you just said, desire, okay, or the understanding of the importance of their vote is what's dwindling down. Okay, they certainly have the skills to go vote. Anybody can fill in an oval on a piece of paper or push a button. Okay, but it's that desire, and I think it's because we've reduced civics education within the schools. We have these kids. For you know, when I was a kid, and I don't know how old you are, but when I was a kid, it was sometimes a little bit overdone, but it was as patriotic and from minute one, they made a point on Election Day, today's voting day, we would have mock elections and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. It mattered. And when I was teaching social studies, it mattered. We talked about it. Okay. Then all of a sudden, the interest started to dwindle. And I honestly believe a lot of that is because we're not doing it in the schools, and we become so polarized that if you even say vote for the president, some people think you mean just this president. It's just nuts. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
Well, and it's one thing to just say go vote, but we want informed voters. You know,
exactly.
We want young people to be able to look at these political ads and these campaigns and to really analyze the different issues they're seeing. You know, do their reading, do their homework, you know, check for facts and have those discussions about those issues in intelligent ways. So, but unless you provide opportunities for young people to engage in those kinds of conversations about issues that are often controversial, you know, it seems like burdensome. It seems too hard, or I don't know what to do. I just won't go. I just won't vote. And so civic education has to be intentional about providing students not only the knowledge base and the history of our great democracy and the founding fathers and how it emerged, but how do we create informed, engaged citizens? How do we help them analyze different issues, make informed, intelligent decisions, engage in consensus building, practice some of these things, you know, interactive civic engagement, where they're talking to legislators or proposing public policy responses to issues in their community, to write to legislators, to feel that they're really a part of the process. Because, you know, when you're insecure about something or not sure, it's easy to push it off. But unless we're intentional on giving students those opportunities to practice democracy, they're going to be less inclined to want to do it when they're out there on their own. But you know, the bad thing is we've pushed it aside. There's been a lot of barriers. You know, when your school is graded or assessed based on your test scores for reading and math and virtually nothing else, you know, where you're going to put your eggs in that basket. And, you know, you can't entirely blame administrators on this. This is what they're handed, you know. But so that's why we press on the policy piece as well and trying to turn that around. So if civics is not assessed, if it's not part of school's accountability system, it gets pushed down. It gets marginalized.
And interesting enough, you know, I mean, it's not the – I want to say this the right way. It is the curriculum to a certain extent, but it's not the curriculum per se. It's the lack of interest and funding from the state school boards, from the state legislature, from even a school district, and you just said it a minute ago, because of the test scores. And they let this very important part – you know, the schools should be – and again, when I was a kid in school and teaching and all that sort of thing, they played a role in democracy.
Right.
Okay? And if you let that dwindle – okay, because the one thing we all have in common in this country, you can be Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, Christian, Jewish, whatever, we all go to school.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the one thing we all have in common. I mean, not all of us are involved with a policeman in our life, except maybe to get a traffic ticket once, okay, but even though we know we need them. Not everybody has a fire in their house or has a loved one has a fire in their house. We don't have that. The one thing we interact with is the schools. Okay, and the schools are, I think, in a great sense, responsible for creating a good feeling and a patriotic feeling about this. And I don't think it's the schools that are missing the boat. I think it's what they're being handed that's missing the boat in terms of civics.
Well, you're singing our song, and that's what the Civic Mission of School campaign is all about. It's about repurposing, reminding us that is the purpose of education. Is not just preparing kids for success in college and career, which we're hearing about so much with the Common Core State Standards Initiative, but the third C. We need to be preparing kids for active, engaged citizenship. And if we're not intentional about that, it's not going to happen. You know, we don't know what colleges kids are going to land, what careers are going to land, but if they're living in these United States, they're part of a democracy. They need to have and be equipped with the knowledge base, skills and the will to be engaged. If it's the very least, get out and vote. But even more so, to engage with legislators, to promote policy, to be a part of it, you know, and we know our history. When you study history, you see how so many groups were denied for so many years. And you even look around the world today, how many people are denied that voice, that right. And yet,
you were almost able to look at Pennsylvania, my home state. Okay? They did everything they could to suppress voting for certain people. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the gentleman who runs the legislature stood up there and said, if we get this passed, this will ensure a victory for Mr. Romney. Okay? Now, I don't mean to take a political position here. I'm taking a generic position. That's a disgrace no matter who would say it. The goal of a politician should be to increase voting, not to have a narrow-minded thing. And when somebody does that and creates voting as a partisan issue, that's a disgrace. That is an absolute disgrace, and good old Pennsylvania Supreme Court knocked that one down. Okay, but how can you even get up there and say that and be proud and call yourself not only an American but a legislator? It's legislator. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, there seems to be a lot of stories about that around the nation. You know, the other sad thing is when we talk about funding for civic learning, too, because that's gonna determine a lot. At the federal level, the funding cycle is – it provides $26 per child for reading, and it provides $19 a child for the STEM subject areas. Mm-hmm. But there currently are $0 dedicated to social studies.
Great.
At the federal level. Now, we're trying to combat that, and, you know, we're looking at the Sandra Day O'Connor Service Learning, Sandra Day O'Connor Act to put in a line of funding to promote history and civics, but until
tell me about that.
Wait
a minute, I'm going to stop you for a second. Tell me about that, the Sandra Day O'Connor Act. Tell me about
Well, it's H.R. 3464. It was introduced by Tom Cole of Oklahoma and Mike Condon of California. Tom Cole of Oklahoma.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Coburn's a senator. I'm sorry.
And
Mike
Condon.
H.R.
3464.
Okay. Go ahead.
And it is designed to provide a stream of funding for competitive grants for the teaching of history and civic education.
And where does that stand now?
Well, things are kind of in a holding pattern now with the election. But we're hoping that, you know, once that passes and we get back to conversations on ESEA reauthorization, that we'll be able to get that back on track and promote that line of funding to support civic education and history. That's something that NCSS...
So civic, which is the essence of an election in a democratic society, is put on hold because of an election. Am I on the bizarro planet? Hello? What's going on? Are we all nuts?
Well, there's a lot of things that are waiting to see how this election shakes out, and I'm sure this is one of them, too.
I'm using you as a foil. You do know that. But, I mean, it's just absolutely incredible, for goodness sakes. Let me ask you this. You know, with less of an emphasis on social studies, okay, because right now, you know, it's all reading, math, STEM, which I believe is very important. Please don't misunderstand that. But I also think this is important, and today's a great day to reflect on it. Are we finding that there are still a lot of students of high caliber who want to go into social studies? Does NCSS keep any tabs on that? What's going on with turning out social studies teachers?
I don't know if we have that kind of data, but it is an interesting question.
That's why they pay me the big bucks, Michelle. That's why they pay me the big bucks. Right.
But, you know, it is certainly, we think, the most admirable career, because if our role in promoting engaged citizens is the role of public schools, yes, you can achieve that in a number of ways. But the most important way, and I think the most distinctive way, is through the social studies classroom. So we certainly do all we can to try to support and promote good social studies teaching and learning, and support the teachers that go into that field. Because, of course, we're biased. We think it's the most important subject if we're really going to fulfill our civic mission in the school.
Well, I didn't even want to say it's the most important subject. I mean, I taught it and I really loved it, but it's equally important. And on a day like today, Election Day 2012, you have to seriously reflect, okay, why, and this is not to you, but to everyone, why the turnout's so low, why all the yelling and screaming, why should you, it's just absolutely nuts out there. It's just I just don't get it. And you can hear the frustration in my voice, and I'm sure it's in your voice too, for goodness sakes. Just what's going on. So do you think, and you said something about 20 minutes ago at the beginning of our little session here, you said that, and I'm not sure I understood you correctly, that some of the teachers getting the students involved in talking to talking to legislators and all that, perhaps civic city councils, et cetera, and actually seeing what the legislative process is like. Okay, is that a trend that's going on now? What do you see out there? And maybe I misunderstood you, so you might want to go back on that. I don't know.
I just would say that that's an example of some high-quality civic learning that we're seeing a lot of really innovative teachers engage in. I know a teacher, Mary Ellen Daniels, in West Chicago. She brings the kids together. They look at the different issues, and she asks them to go out and work for whatever candidate they'd like to get their feet wet, to get them engaged in the process. She's not promoting a certain party or point of view, but to engage them in those conversations, get their heads around them, look at the pros and cons, you know, all the things that informed voters should be doing, giving them practice in that. So those are the kinds of examples we love to hold up because it's practice for citizenship.
And talk to me about the role, and because when we think social studies teachers, we think secondary school, the middle school onward, so to speak. Okay, talk to me about the role of elementary school in all this.
Oh, absolutely. It begins real early. You know, when you talk about structures for order, you talk about the importance of rules and laws, you can have a conversation with very young children about that. They understand those complex concepts of equality, fairness, justice. I mean, they may not know those terms, those vocabulary terms, but, you know, you give one kid a bigger piece of cake than another, they're going to say, hey, that's not fair, or it's not equal. They'll convey that and understand those concepts. So those are kind of laying those foundations with very young children in understanding the structures that our American democracy is built on. So I've seen even kindergarten teachers say, you know, why do we need rules in a classroom? Well, they keep us safe. They help us learn. Well, let's create some rules. What would be good rules? What would not be good rules? What is our role as a student? What's my responsibility? What's the role of the teacher in the school? What's their responsibility? So you're laying early groundwork. And yes, of course, I think social studies is the best subject suited for this, but it's easy to integrate all the other subjects into these conversations. And that's
really
the beauty
is.
Of the Common Core Initiative, too. So you want kids to read about these things. Write about them, speak about them, listen to others' points of view, look for those key ideas and understandings. Start writing some expository, persuasive writing pieces to persuade someone to a point of view based on evidence. That's right out of the Common Core. So we just don't read reading. We can start to read some really powerful informational texts, even with the youngest students, and start building those building blocks toward effective citizenship.
You know, actually, I have to say something. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, so, and NCSS has a number of resources to help students. We have a journal for the young learner, for teachers of elementary. We have a lot of elementary folks on board, and they bring a lot of creative ideas and ways to engage kids in this.
They're creative people. Michelle Herzog is our guest today. She's the VP at the National Council for the Social Studies, NCSS.org, the largest association in the nation devoted solely to social studies education. So important as we're reflecting on it on Election Day 2012 when we're doing this show live, civic engagement in the 21st century, how funding and everything else is affecting this, how the schools affect it, et cetera, okay, how social studies affects it, and all that sort of thing. You brought up an interesting thing just yesterday. I did a show, this was actually, Adi would bring it up, with a group called Empowering Writers, and it was all about the Common Core and writing and all those things you just said, expository writing and persuasive writing and all that, which I completely forgot about all those titles, Michelle, okay? This is what they do. They tell people how to do it. And we were thinking of it in terms of elementary school. We were thinking of it in terms of you know, English teachers. But social studies is the same darn thing. Social studies is the same darn thing.
Correct.
You know, and also,
and
I got to tell, but
you
go.
Me? We're discovering a lot of other benefits of civic learning, particularly when it's engaged in these reading and writing exercises. You know, when you start to make reading and writing meaningful to kids, you're going to find they're less likely to drop out of school. So we have research that backs that up, that high-quality civic learning reduces dropout rates, that it creates a more safe and nurturing school environment, which makes it more conducive for learning. We also know that when you're working toward developing civic competencies, particularly around conversations and being able to dialogue about controversial issues, you're also developing students' workforce competencies. So all of these things become interrelated. The Partnership for 21st Century Skills talks about the need of the corporate world, who is screaming, you know, our kids are coming out not just with book knowledge, but they're not coming out with the kind of critical thinking skills, collaboration skills, the ability to communicate effectively and be creative and innovative in ways that we need in the workforce. High-quality civic learning speaks to all of those issues. And so redefining citizenship in the 21st century is all about developing those skills, those competencies that are going to benefit kids as engaged citizens, but also in their workforce and in their college careers as well.
And P21 is a frequent guest on our show, Partnership for 21st Century Skills, at p21.org, if anybody wants to check that out. Okay, and they're just a wonderful group. In fact, I'm going to be talking to Lil Kellogg tomorrow. We have a call scheduled. Okay, and they're just great. Yes, she's great, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, what you're saying is so important, the workforce development, civics engagement, all that sort of stuff. Yet, I guess I'm going back to the same thing. I'm harping on it, but where is the disconnect? Why is social studies one of the first things that's cut, okay, when it affects everything? Why is there a disconnect? I just can't figure it out. So talk to me then. What's NCSS? Now, I know you're supporting the Sandra Day O'Connor Act, as you said, and all that sort of thing. But on a day-to-day basis, National Council for the Social Studies, okay, how are they working with teachers? How are you working with teachers, okay, to increase their civics education and helping them convince their school boards, their administrators, whatever, how important this is? What's the role of NCSS in all that?
Well, one thing we do is try to create resources that help show teachers how to make the link between English language arts and civic education. So one example is we took the Common Core state standards for English language arts and laid them out, K-12. And we developed some civic education types of activities that teachers could engage in to get to those. So, for example, you know, the Common Core calls for reading of informational text. So we said, all right, informational text. How about reading the preamble? There's some informational text. There's a primary source. We got some text for you. Or how about, you know, looking at integrating those ideas around the biographies of George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or those three young kids. You know, making those links. When you study 20th century history, you're reading about the civil rights movement, the women's suffrage movement, all of these issues, right? How do those ideas around promoting civic, civil rights relate to today and building civic competence? You're reading about it, you're writing about it, you should be speaking and listening. So that's an example. We have a lot, we have a big conference coming up next week in Seattle. We have a whole slew of workshops.
Thank you for mentioning, I forgot. Yeah, wow.
Well, I wasn't going to let you forget that.
No, bless your heart. I forgot about that, for goodness sake.
We have a huge conference in Seattle, and we have a whole ton of workshops and teachers from around the country who are coming together and sharing and talking about what they are doing to make those linkages really distinct and intentional between Common Core and social studies. Our journals puts forth a number of ideas and lessons, so resources galore. But I think the most exciting thing that we can do as a national organization is to press on the policymakers. Because, you know, you can only do so much from the ground up.
Exactly.
If you don't change policy from the top down,
exactly,
you know, you're only going to make incremental results.
And how should, this is a good question, how should the social studies world, okay, get to the top? Okay, what's the way, what's the path to the top, so to speak, that you can influence them? And I know, for example, Susan, your executive director, I mean, I think, I'm not sure, but I think she works with Learning First. It's the organization. You got the school administrators, the school board, the state school board. You got everything in the world. What are the inroads to that gang so that they begin to understand? Because all of this, I mean, we're preaching to the choir. How do you get out of preaching to the choir?
Well, exactly, and Susan is brilliant about bringing those coalitions together in Washington, D.C.
There was a leading question. I knew Susan was brilliant. I wanted you to say it.
Well, she's absolutely brilliant. I'm sure she's listening and laughing her head off right now, but we are just so thrilled to have her at the helm, and also our new advocate for social studies, Kat McDonald from Lynchpin Strategies. I mean, we've taken some major steps in the last few years to really be on the ground and on the Hill in D.C. and talking to legislators with talking points, and the importance of this and the future of our democracy just depends on this. So, and
who is
the other
advocate?
Thing we're working
on. You just mentioned an advocate. What is that person's name?
Her name is Kat Trionic. We call her Kat McDonald from Lynchpin Strategies, and she's been brilliant in educating us, because here's the reality. You know, we're social studies teachers. We didn't come to the game to really be politicians or legislators.
Right.
So she's educating
right.
us on how do you talk to a legislator? How do you keep it short and sweet? What are your talking points? Where are your press points? We have been doing major sessions, and we're making a big effort through our government relations committee led by Brian Traxler, Diane Hart, so many good people in reeducating our own field and to practice what we teach, which is to be engaged citizens ourselves. And meeting with legislators and not being intimidated by it and knowing what to say and where to go and how to go, because it's all tricky business. But that's not the end of the story. Each individual state has a lot of leverage in developing state policy around curriculum, frameworks, assessment, accountability. So we need to energize our folks to go back to their state capitals and do a similar thing. But even there, you can go further. You can go to your local district. Because there's a lot of wiggle room in these things if people feel they have the permission to do it. So we're trying to work on that at all levels, at the local, state, and national levels.
Yeah, and again, everything is tied to everything else. And you said it a few minutes ago. Social studies is tied to workforce development, is tied to civic engagement, is tied to legislation, it's tied to the – I mean, it's just – It's tied to writing. It's tied. You can apply it to everything. And believe me, when I was teaching, I did, because we worked on a team, okay? And the team was the four major subjects, discussing any subject we were assigned to discuss using the four separate subjects, okay? And what today I think they call blended learning, and we just called it team teaching back then.
Well, and there's a new report out from Circle led by Peter Levine and funded by the Bechtel Foundation that gives a reporting out of how many states test in civics and government. And it came out that civics and government, how many states across the nation require testing in that?
Yeah.
Eight. Only eight states.
Well, how old is the survey? When the survey was done, there may have only been eight states.
Are you kidding? It was done in the last few months.
No, I'm only kidding you. You know that, for goodness sakes. Unbelievable.
There's a lot of states that require history to graduate, you know, or to take the coursework to graduate high school. But you know what? When it comes right down to it, it's that old adage, what gets tested gets taught, because that's where the resources go. So when you find from this Circle report that only eight states assess civics in American government, where do you think the resources are going to go?
It's so disgraceful. It's unbelievable. I can't wait to hear the numbers of people who voted today, you know, versus the number of people who could have voted today. And I saw the ad. I believe it was an Obama ad, but they were talking, get out and vote. It was 537 votes made the difference in Florida, which made the 2012 election become the election that elected George W. Bush as opposed to the Al Gore. Okay, regardless, again, of your politics, okay, that changed that election, 537 votes. We got to get people out there, and they got to understand that. We got to get the students engaged in civics, okay? from day one when they're in school, I hate to say this, not to brainwash them, so to speak, but to get them involved that this is the way democracy works. Am I correct, Sue? Michelle.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a message we... You talked to Sue last time.
I'm sorry, Michelle. I had Susan on my...
That's okay. I love Sue, too.
I do, too. She's great.
She's great.
That's funny.
Okay. Well, and, you know, we want smart voters. You know,
yeah, we do.
It doesn't take long. You look at any of these political ads, and I'm going to say on all sides, it's very easy to get swept up into the rhetoric. And the talking points and the visuals and all of that, right? So
absolutely.
We want people to look at those ads and question them and to think about the truths or untruths.
Exactly.
Or the pros and cons of what they're saying and not saying.
Exactly.
So
and we want you to make it informed.
Voting. We need
decision.
Informed, smart voters. Our role in school is not to create junior Republicans or junior Democrats or junior independents.
Right.
Our goal is to create informed voters.
I agree. It's unbelievable. Now, for a second here, let's talk again. I want to get back to this because I completely forgotten. You have the social studies conference coming up in, let me just get this here, in Seattle. When's it coming up? Another week or so?
Yes, next week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Wow, that's how many people are you expecting?
Millions.
Well, that is
we
more
get
than
a
I
big
expected,
turnout.
Actually.
I don't know what our numbers are now, but you know, anyone who's listening who hasn't been able to register, please go ahead. It's November 16th, 17th, 18th in Seattle, the weekend before Thanksgiving. We have a naturalization ceremony as part of
nice.
The conference.
Oh, wow. Nice.
With retired Justice Sandra Day O'Connor and Gerda Weissman Klein, who established Citizenship Counts, another
nice.
Fabulous program. So, yeah, we're very excited about that. We have Geneva Day. We have a number of wonderful speakers and sessions. And it's going to be a great, great conference. It always is. John Moore is our president this year, showing great leadership, and Steve Armstrong, our president-elect. So we've got really great people working their hearts out behind the scenes and in front of the scenes to really mobilize the field.
It's
and
really good.
Not just preach to the choir, but to reach
is
beyond
there
the
a
choir.
Virtual, is there a virtual component to it at all? And the reason I'm asking is not everybody can get there, you know, with budgets and all that sort of thing. Is there a virtual part?
Yeah, I'm not too sure of that, much of that. That's a difficult
okay.
thing to do, you know. But a lot of the handouts and things like that will be available online. And it's amazing the amount of resources are there for free. Of course, we encourage folks to join. You know,
of
we
course.
Really need a robust membership so that we have big credibility when we do speak on the Hill and we speak with legislators. Because, like you said, I mean, we're the national organization, the national spokesperson.
You are.
Anyone who's a social studies teacher, even in higher ed, we have a number of professors and higher ed folks that belong. Because they believe in the cause. So
well, absolutely, and that's why I wanted you know to know about a virtual thing. If somebody can't make it, they will be able. You got to go to either socialstudies.org or ncss.org, which will redirect you to socialstudies.org, and you'll be able to. You should be able to go and see what's going on over there, et cetera, and there'll be some updates and all that sort of thing. It's really important that you check it out. Am I correct? Michelle?
Absolutely. And, you know, the other place you can go is the civicmissionofschools.org. That is our, you know, probably if you had to pick one source for civic education policy and practice and resources, start there, civicmissionofschools.org. It's led by Ted McConnell, who's the fantastic executive director of that group, too. So we
I
all,
never
we're
heard
all
of that
together.
Group before. See, now, wait, I just learned something. Civic Mission of Schools, obviously one word, civicmissionofschools.org.
You got it.
Hey, I'm going to get him on the show.
You better. He's probably listening right now. You can invite him right now. I'll bet you he'll blog
I think
right
you're
in.
Invited. His name's Ted? Ted, did you say?
Ted McConnell.
Ted McConnell, you're invited. Actually, McConnell is one of my wife's family names. She's half McConnell and half Ward, for goodness sakes.
Okay, well, I hope that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I like my
okay.
wife. I love my wife. She's great.
Well,
okay.
That's a good thing, too.
It is. Okay. Michelle, we've got to go. This was more fun than a barrel of monkeys, I got to tell you, but I got to let you go and go vote.
I got to go vote. I like to do it
vote.
In person. I like to get the little sticker. I like to show off everybody at work. I said,
Michelle Herzog shows the value of a great civics education and a great social studies education by going out and vote, and everybody should do that too. Thank you, Michelle. You were wonderful. I loved having you on today.
Thank you for the invitation. This was a real hoot, and I just so appreciate being part of your show and helping spread the good word. And thank you for all you're doing to support our effort, Larry.
No problem.
It's
my pleasure
to
do it. And brilliant, as brilliant as she is, Susan knows she's always welcome. You're always welcome. And we're going to get in touch with Ted McConnell at Civic Mission of Schools and get him on the show. How terrific.
That'd be awesome. You'll enjoy that, too.
Okay. And you, too, are awesome. Now go vote.
Okay, I will. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Michelle. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Michelle Herzog, okay. That was great. Perfect. Vice President of the National Council for the Social Studies, NCSS, ncss.org. And I think you can also do socialstudies.org to get to the same place. NCSS is a large association in the nation devoted solely to social studies education, okay? And it's... interest in social studies starts to dwindle. It all ties together. You can't have that, okay? This is an important function of the schools, and I think that's been lost over the last few years, and we got to get that back together. You know, I meant to mention, by the way, you can learn more. My good friends over at Smart Brief do a National Council for the Social Studies Smart Brief, and you can probably learn more about it at ncss.org, or you can go to smartbrief.com and sign up for it. I'm sure it'll come on email. It's really good stuff that they put together for NCSS. I also just wanted to mention, I have a good friend and client named Mimeo, okay, and Mimeo.com, okay, has some great products out there, but one of the great things they did, and you can, whether you have a Mimeo whiteboard or not, okay, they created a get-out-the-vote curriculum, which was absolutely excellent. It was started with the younger grades and moved all the way up to K-12. It was absolutely terrific, and I just wanted to note that a lot of the companies out there, in this case particularly Mimeo, was really involved in this election. And the things that they did in their curriculum for Get Out the Vote are useful all year. It doesn't matter that the election's over today. So I suggest you go Mimeo, Get Out the Vote, Mimeo.com. Check it out. I'm sure you could probably Google Mimeo, Get Out the Vote, and get the same information, but they really did a good job on that. So there's a lot of stuff for you to remember here. Smartbrief.com. Where there's an NCSS Smart Brief comes out all the time. Mimeo, Get Out the Vote, Civic Mission of Schools.org, the upcoming NCSS conference in Seattle in a week or so. And also just remember Civic Missions of Schools, et cetera. I'm Larry Jacobs. One more website. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, and we tweet at EduTalkRadio. Check our schedule over at the website. You'll be impressed. We always are. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.